It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, April 7th. I'm Patricia Naft. The North Fork roadless rule exception is getting looked at again. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The roadless rule was set up to protect wilderness area from road development, but there was an exception given to the North Fork Valley area. Jim Bedwell, the Director for Recreation, Lands, and Minerals for the U.S. Forest Service in this region, explains why this exception existed.
You know, under our legal mandate for the U.S. Forest Service, mineral and energy development is part of what we allow. And we do know that operation of those mines in that area are very important to the people of the valley there in that area. It accounts for 40% of Colorado's coal coming out of that area. And so just in terms of providing energy-related resources and the economic benefits for that area and the state of Colorado, it required an exception for that road construction.
Last fall, though, a district judge tossed out the exception as written, mainly because it failed to take into account the effects on climate change that all that coal would have. Because of that, a planned expansion at the West Elk Mine was put on hold.
The judge said that we did not analyze the effects of greenhouse gas emissions. We just issued a notice of intent for a supplemental environmental impact statement to analyze whether we should reinstitute that exception or not. So we're in a 45-day scoping period, which will end May 22nd, and will the notice of intent describes basically the scope of the analysis and solicits public input on that process.
Bedwell wouldn't speculate, but said that the results from this supplemental EIS could range from the exception being reinstated all the way to keeping the exception out, blocking the coal mine expansion. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A grass fire broke out near Delta over the weekend. The Crawmill Mesa fire was west of town and burned through 270 acres. Stations from Delta, Cedar Edge, Ouray all responded, as well as the BLM, a hotshot crew from Rifle, and the Olathe Spray Service. The Thompson Divide, an area near Carbondale and Redstone, has been a hotbed of fighting between environmentalists and fracking. Yesterday, that fight splashed up to Paonia. Two major companies hold leases in the area, SG Interests and URSA. They've now both proposed swapping their leases in the controversial Thompson Divide for leases elsewhere. The exact details are still a bit unclear, but it looks like SG Interests is wanting to swap out their lease for a lease north of Paonia. Jim Ramey is with Citizens for a Healthy Community. He says the companies are under no legal obligation right now to ditch the leases, but it's not a cut and dry issue.
There are a lot of complicated background details. For instance, right now, some of those leases in the Thompson Divide are undergoing a federal environmental review process that potentially could lead to their cancellation. So kind of a lot of moving parts and pictures here, and the details of all of this, we just don't know yet.
The Gunnison County Commissioners have been asked to write a letter of support for the lease swaps, and they are moving forward with the draft. The Flight of the Eagle Project is a collaboration between the Delta County School District, students, and the community to raise money for a new track and field at Paonia High School. The first phase of the project is to raise $100,000 to break ground for an 8-lane, all-weather track. In later phases of the project, they hope to raise money to create trails by the river and a usable recreation space for the whole community. KVNF's Allie Lightfoot spoke to some students and organizers of the campaign last week.
Despite winning a string of championships and boasting some of the best athletes in the state, Paonia High School does not have its own track or football field. Paonia senior and two-time state football champion Josh Kimball feels traveling to other locations to practice has not only been hard on the athletes, but expensive for the district.
There's costs that come with that because that's not Paonia High School's property. We have to rent the space. For track, we have to travel to Hotchkiss twice a week. We play football at the town park. We play baseball, volunteer, and buses aren't cheap.
Paonia junior Chelsea Milner has been on a mission to be among the top 10 runners at the state's 2A competition since she started track. She made it there last November, going to the podium with a ninth place finish.
What we have in academics is balanced out with athletics as kind of a stress reducer. I know for me, running, that's what I use it for. And it's also a lot of fun. It definitely brings the school together as a whole, and it brings the community together as well.
Chelsea believes the makeshift track at Paonia High is not adequate.
It gets to the point of being almost dangerous. I know we've had quads torn this season. Last season, I was hurt myself. It's not a quality track at all.
The Delta County School District has faced major budget cuts over the past several years, forcing them to reduce staff and salaries. I asked the Flight of the Eagle Committee Chair, Cindy Schwarzendruber, why raising funds for a new track and field would be a priority while the schools were struggling to pay teachers.
Unfortunately, we as a populace can't directly give to teacher salaries. That the budget, the way the state is run, we don't have the opportunity to do that. From my point of view, by us giving money and donating toward facilities, that frees up part of the budget then that probably could go into increasing salaries.
Both Chelsea and Josh will graduate before the Flight of the Eagle project could ever be completed, but both want to work for future generations of athletes at Paonia High.
Being a four-year athlete in both track and football made a huge impact in my life. For me, it's more than anything just coming back later and knowing I helped, I made a difference, and I hopefully helped some other kids too.
For more information, visit flightoftheeagleproject.com. I'm Allie Lightfoot for KVNF.
The annual Colorado budget is making its way through the State House. It cleared the Senate on a vote of 21-14, passing largely along party lines, with three Democrats joining Republicans to support it. Benta Berkland discusses the dynamic as part of our weekly Capitol Conversation series.
The Senate only passed three relatively modest changes to the budget, and even though the bill was crafted by the bipartisan Joint Budget Committee, Democrats such as Senator Raleigh Heath of Boulder voted against it because not enough of their amendments were added.
This is the first step in this process, and I hope we can do it a little better.
Three Democrats joined Republicans in the Senate to pass the budget bill. After the House makes changes, the measure will head to a conference committee to iron out any differences. That will give lawmakers one last chance to switch their votes when it heads back to each chamber for final approval. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Stay tuned for Ashley and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.